What up?
Hello.
Sorry, try not to shout into this thing.
Hey, y'all.
Are you guys excited for this action that's happening in your face right now?
We're going on a literary journey together. We've never done this before. Covered television.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered our work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going into the world of words.
It's true. That is correct.
I'm Jen.
I'm Raph.
And this is the podcast itself.
Working title. I recommended Blade Trinity.
And you also recommended Thermofanatics.
Which is a play on thermodynamics, which is the first law of something.
I was going to say, you kept saying it's the first law. What does that mean? The first law of, like,
physics. I don't know. Whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Off to a good start.
Very good.
So if you are a new listener, welcome. If you're a returning listener, perhaps you've heard some of our other work, welcome back. Specifically, Bill from Pittsburgh. He's our fan.
That's right. Right. Hopefully some of the Girls Podcast fans, friends.
You guys are friends.
Will join us on this literary journey.
Yeah.
And this will also allow me a lot many more opportunities to make Game of Thrones references.
And it'll allow me many more opportunities to scoff at Raph.
That is correct. There's a lot of opportunity for that.
So let's first talk about why we chose this particular set of... How many books are there currently out?
There are three First Lost series trilogy books. It's a trilogy. And then there are three more standalone books that are in the same universe... by Mr. Abercrombie.
He might be related to the famous outfitters.
Might be.
They're in hot water, though, because they're being kind of jerks about, like... You've heard about this.
Yeah.
They're like, our clothes aren't for ugly, fat people.
Yeah.
This guy, as far as we know, does not have anything to do with that. His books are for everybody.
They're terrible, though.
Abercrombie and Fitch clothing.
Yeah.
I thought you meant this guy's book.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, we don't know, but probably not. So far, so good.
Back to Abercrombie & Fitch, though. Only I got a gift card for there when I was in middle school, and I bought a terrible cloth cotton skirt.
Yeah.
And I wore the shit out of it because it said Abercrombie & Fitch on it. And my mom never actually let me, like, buy clothing there.
Yeah.
She was like, no, we're going to Kohl's. I got Kohl bucks. Kohl's cash? I forget what they're called.
Yeah. You know, Kohl's pretty good. Abercrombie. Stuff with logos on it.
Though Abercrombie's been around for 100 plus years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's transformed a lot. Quite like the characters in this book will.
Yes.
Let's segue back.
So the last time we recorded a pod, I checked, was March
29, 2013. Oh my God, that's almost... that's 11 months exactly. Yeah,
that's crazy. And the thing is... with that podcast that we recorded, we were, like, full on expecting to come back next week and do, like, the finale.
What happened? We just, like, crumbled.
Just crumbled.
Well, it was, like, one of us would have a conflict, and this happened for about 3 months, yeah. And then it was, like...
And we were, like, a week behind.
Always.
And then we were, like, trying to double up the episodes.
Oh, and then we would just get drunk, and then they wouldn't save.
And I came back from, like, Scotch thing, and I was just we're supposed to do two, and we were both just, like, ugh.
Ben's cats would make me really allergic.
Yeah.
So
that happened.
Also, shout out to our old producer, Ben, who's no longer involved in this, but he's getting married to Alex.
Congratulations, guys.
They put up with us all those Sundays.
Well, I would probably say that we were, like, responsible for them.
For their,
they all together.
I would say so. We bring people together. Now, okay, so back to why we chose this set of books. Raph, can you inform us a little bit of all the fantasy novels out there?
Right.
What about this one piqued your interest?
Well, as everyone knows, I'm a Game of Thrones fanatic.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm, like, rereading the Dance with Dragons, Feast for Crows combo into a mashup where you intermix the chapters together to make one book, and it's, like, much more fluid.
It's like a funfetti cake.
Yeah, it is super fun, you guys. And then we both read the Name of the Wind series.
We did.
Just two books, and they're pretty hefty.
The second one's quite hefty.
Yeah.
The third one's coming out at some point. We thought about perhaps doing a podcast about that, but again, we wanted to make sure we had a full thing to discuss.
I think the name of the one podcast would be really cool, but the thing is, we wanted to just have more fun with this one, and it's more interesting to read it along with everyone for the first time.
We are going as fast as you guys are. If you're keeping up, keep up with us, because we're going to be discovering together. We've only read the prologue, and then the first two chapters. That is this week's assignment. And then at the end of the podcast, we'll tell you guys what we're going to read for next week, and you guys can follow along.
So we read through the chapter called Questions with Glotka.
Is that how you say it? It sounds so Polish when you say it.
I said
Glotka.
It's like a pretty like Slavic name.
I know. Okay, well, that's one thing we need to talk about is these names. Glotka.
It's been a year almost. What did you do?
What did I do? Oh my god, what have I done? That's a great question. I stopped watching Girls.
I'm behind too. I still think the show's good.
It's I watched that GQ episode that everybody was talking about, but I haven't seen the rest of it.
That was pretty ridiculous. That, like, really, my life flashed in front of my eyes.
I don't know. All those things I'd already considered so many times, and it bothered me how she had a day job for approximately 12 hours, and she was like, oh my god, what am I doing? It took me at least a year and a half.
Sure, but it also, like, hit me because I also write for men's, like, magazine, style website, so it's just, like, doubled up on me.
I'm trying to think what else happened this past year. Oh my gosh.
Well, we were still working together.
We were still working together. Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. They don't know what happened. They don't know what happened. You can make up a story.
No, so Jen and I worked at this company, and I left, and Jen is still there, and I, like, traveled all over the place, and ended up doing, like, an artist residency in the narrowest house in the world in Poland, and...
the narrowest.
Yeah. And...
Because why not?
Yeah, went all... I just hung out and just traveled a ton.
So, Raph's life is way better than mine.
And I recently got a job at lumberjacking.
Are you serious?
I didn't tell you this.
No?
Yeah, I'm a lumberjack now.
In Chicago?
Northwest Indiana.
What the... Are you kidding me? That's awesome. That's probably, like, one... Just based on your, like, build, that's a job you were meant to have.
Maybe. I think, like, every person I met, like, in the security check-in, like, the safety check-in, they're like, oh, you're Polish? And they all were Polish. But, like, they're not, like, Polish. They just know, like, one sentence. Oh, but, like, they're, you know, like,
are they? But they're Polish, but they don't speak Polish? Yeah, or are they just...
And it's just, like, everyone's, like, super friendly to me. Like, I feel like I immediately have, like, this rep. Like, Polish people in manual labor just have a good rep, you know?
Yeah. So wait, have you started lumbering trees yet?
Yeah, so I only went 1 week last week, but I'm going 3 days this week. Basically, my friend Coulter, we were at Longmeadow Monday night, and I was like, oh shit, I just came back from 3 weeks in Europe, and I was like, I should probably get a job, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Aaron and I are still working on the app, so I didn't want to get a full-time job. And he's a manager at an environmental company, a site, you know, and he's just like, do you want to cut down trees?
He's an environmental worker?
He's like he works for an environmental services, like, cleanup company, and he's like the site manager or whatever.
Interesting. So, he's like an environmental company, and he would tell you to go cut down trees.
Well, we're cutting down non-indigenous trees that are
a menace,
stalling the growth of the natural prairie underneath.
Okay, so you still use these trees to make, like, they're still sold as, like, regular lumber? Or is it just as, like, an environmental...
It's mostly as an environmental... It's actually next to the steel mills on Lake Michigan on Gary... Around by Gary.
On the Gary side. I've only ever been to the casino over there.
Yeah. So, cool. I think it's because the mills are, like, trying to show that they're, like, being environmentally friendly. But then there's, like, a dead bird on the ground and, like, just huge clouds of smoke. It is legit Gary, the most Indiana's... blue-collar thing ever. Like, it's insane. Imagine.
Well, that's cool. It's funny that you're writing for this, like, men's bougie website by night, and then you're a lumberjack. That's great. I've always enjoyed the thought of lumberjacks. I don't know. Okay, and myself, I'm not doing any. Oh, wait, I'm writing a kid's book.
You are? Mm-hmm. And Jen also had a wonderful improvised Friday Night Lights show that I went to see twice.
He did. Raph was a super fan. We did improvised Friday Night Lights, and it was super fun. And now we're switching over. So our group is called On Demand. Basically, next is improvised X-Files. which we're rehearsing right now. And then the hope is that after, like, within a year, we'll have, like, a roster of improvised TV shows so that when people come to the show, like, we can have, like, a wheel or something and you get to spin and get to see a new show every night. We're trying to do shows that are, like, have cult followings and that have, like, great reps, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like a fantasy podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Finding our niche.
We're trying to plant the seed of a cult following.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, tell your friends. And then when my kids' book comes out, everybody should buy it. I don't know what it's going to be called or really what it's about, but we'll find out.
You just start writing? Like, what about illustration and stuff?
Yeah, I'm writing illustration.
Because Jen also has a series of paintings.
Yes.
Where it's like, you can explain.
Mostly, I take commissions. I've done a couple commission works, but mostly I just put animals in hilarious situations. It's called Controversial Creatures. You can check it out at controversialcreatures.com.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, or .tumblr.com. I think my domain right now expired, but I'm going to try to make a real website for myself at some point. Anyway, that's what we've been up to.
Yep.
We hope you guys have had a wonderful year. And if not, then your year is about to get a lot better.
It's going
to
get so better.
Raph, will you top me up?
Yep. Today's podcast is sponsored by Franzia Chardonnay.
Franzia. The world's most popular wine trademark. That's their slogan. Well, I kind of believe that in a way.
That's one of those things that I do believe.
One of the few things that we believe on this podcast. Thank you. Okay, let's one jump in.
Yeah. So.
Well, can we talk about this dedication?
Yes.
The dedication is to for the four readers, you know who you are. Sounds ominous.
That's probably not me.
No, I don't know that this is me either. Maybe that should be our goal, is to get on a dedication page.
Yeah. Our goal is definitely going to be to, like, hunt down Joe Abercrombie and be like, listen, man. Retweet us.
Yeah. So you just tweeted him?
Yeah, we'll just tweet at him.
What would you do? Who would you dedicate a fantasy book to?
If
you wrote one. George R. R. Martin. Yeah, you would. I
have to
ask that question.
I guess, yeah.
For inspiring me. Now, we start at the end with this book.
Yeah, so that was very confusing because...
At first I thought my book was... I'm reading this off the internet. And
yeah, we're reading it off a PDF because my book is delayed. Thanks, Amazon. So I'll have it soon, hopefully. Unless the mailman stole it.
He's listening right now.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I know you have my car cover, mailman. I know you have it. We're introduced to Logan Nine Fingers.
Logan. Let's talk about these names.
Yeah.
Nine Fingers automatically makes me think of Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Logan makes me think of Logan from the Babysitter's Club. Spelled differently, but still.
Makes me think of Wolverine.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Logan's kind of like a badass name. It starts with the word, with log.
Yeah.
Which conjures visions of, the woods.
Logging.
Raph in a lumberjack ensemble. Do you have to wear, a flannel shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Raph is currently getting up and showing me his lumberjacking uniform. It is... Oh, my God! Wait, why do you want to be camouflaged?
I don't know.
Oh, you bought it.
It just seems appropriate.
Don't you want to be seen?
Yeah, but I wear this... I wear these, like, orange Kevlar like slacks, and, like...
Kevlar, wow.
Yeah, and there's, like, I have these big gloves, and this helmet with, like, earmuffs, and, like, a screen shield in front of it.
Have people died on this, like, in this particular...
I don't think they died, but this guy, like, the safety guy immediately told the story about a guy, like, chopped half of his thigh off. Just went into his leg.
How?
Like, he, like, swung the chainsaw and went, like, just...
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, that's fucking terrifying.
Dude, oh my God, don't go hungover.
No, I'm all business. All business over there.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Can't believe you're doing that.
I think it's okay as long as, you know.
You don't trap your leg.
Yeah, I mean, I think like guys that have been doing it for like 20 years get like, you know.
Oh, yeah, they get complacent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so crazy to think you get complacent holding a giant, whatchamacallit, chainsaw. But whatevs. Okay, back to Logan's plunging through trees. This first opening paragraph is very filled with a lot of active verbs.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very it's an action sequence, which is nice. I believe the blade itself. I mean, The Name of the Wind also did an action scene. I think it was like, there was like a man like riding a horse through the rain, and then like there was those spider things.
Oh yeah, yeah. And even Game of Thrones has those weird pre chapters. They're actiony, right?
I think that Game of Thrones started with them, the Rangers being in the woods north of the wall, and then the White Walker comes out. So,
seems like that's a popular trope, is to like take you somewhere completely different than where you start with.
Well, it's a good idea, because I think there's a lot of setup in fantasy novels, a lot of world building. So if you don't start off, like The Name of the Wind got pretty slow, like immediately after that first chapter. It was like, oh, I was like dying, like trying to get through this. And this book,
it was that bad.
Well, I was dying. It really took me a while to get going on that. But I think this book, like, immediately, like, I'm not... So, we know we've done the, like, we're through the third, technically the third chapter, and, like, I'm not bored at all.
No, it's pretty
interesting so far.
It's always a little tough with the names and stuff. I'm always like, who... I have to, like, check back a million times. Yeah. I'm like, who the F is this? So, Logan's running the Dog Man, a.k.a. the Hound. Just kidding. Sorry. The Dog Man had been with him earlier. We've got the Dog Man, and then we've got bad guys... called the Shanka and also the Flathead. Are they the same thing? I think they are. It seems like maybe it's like one of those things where like there's two names for the same.
Yeah.
Like one's like colloquial.
He's interchanging it. He's using it interchangeably like pretty regular. Like in the same paragraph, he'll go Shanka, Flathead, Shanka.
My guess is that their names, the Shanka, they happen to have Flathead. This is my,
but they, yeah,
my guess.
He refers to them with a capital F. But, so yeah. I'm trying to, like, imagine this thing, and...
I'm imagining, like, maybe something kind of, like, Cro-Magnon. No. I don't know if it's, like, front head or back head, or if it's, like, squished head.
Right.
It might not even...
Maybe it's, like, I'm imagining maybe, like, a... Like, an alligator thing.
Oh, I was thinking it's kind of man.
Like a man-like?
Oh, yeah, it's, like, a humanoid. I was... Interesting. You thought it was, like... Maybe because flat head sounds like a snake.
Yeah.
Like a diamondback or a... What are those kinds? They have a certain kind of head, something head.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's talking about the Shanka's skull. I don't know. I guess I just assumed it was like a humanoid.
Well, maybe we'll get some better description. It's weird, right? They don't like this... They don't have a lot of description of this thing. About, like how big it is, how, you know...
Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever. Use your imagination.
Yeah, I always find that man is much, much scarier than almost any beast could be.
The dark recesses of man's soul is the darkest it gets.
It's pretty much the true. And the last bit of this chapter is him getting sucked into the cold darkness.
So, yes, yeah, so, you know, he's getting basically hunted. He seems like he has a knife on him, but he doesn't have supplies, and he's flustered, and he's rolling in, and then they get tangled. And then he's hanging off a cliff.
Yeah, this is very movie. He's like, fingers around a little branch, and then there's a guy on his ankle.
Yeah.
Which to me, like, why don't you just kick him in the head?
He has to be the strongest man in the world.
Anytime
you see, like, a movie, and they're like, you know, someone's hanging, and then this one's hanging off of him, the amount of strength you need to have...
Like hang. Maybe you're right though. Maybe it's smaller than, like maybe a flathead's like a smaller thing.
I don't know how big it is. So
we don't. I just figure like kick him in the head, kick him in the flat head.
Yeah.
Bye.
So he's hanging off this thing. He says, "Shit," muttered Logan. It was quite a scrape he was in. He'd been in some bad ones, all right, and lived to sing the songs.
Oh, he's our scrappy hero if I've ever read.
But it's hard to see how this could get much worse.
That is, I hate that, like, how's he gonna get out of it? I'm like, come on, we know he's in trouble.
It's like, yeah, it comes, and then he goes, and that got him thinking about his life. It seemed a bitter, pointless sort of a life now. No one was any better off because of it. So you automatically get, kind of the undertones of, like, dark, like, this is supposed to be a dark series.
Yeah.
This isn't, like... Well, there's fairies and elves with, like, bows and arrows. Well, maybe there are, but they're probably depressed.
Also, maybe you're right, though, because we're talking about this flathead, and it dragged itself up his leg, so it doesn't... They don't, like, gender it. So maybe it is some sort of creature. Ooh, excuse me.
Right, so, Yeah, the prose currently, I mean, it's like the freaking first or second page, but it comes off as like this guy's like this like adventurous chap, you know? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna get myself in a scrap.
Clearly, he's missing a finger.
Yeah, he's missing a finger.
I'm more like, oh, how do you do that? Let's find out. Yeah, I like how fast it was. I do like a little bit more magic sometimes off the bat to like just kind of, I'm like a sucker for magic. Like, what kind of. Because the best thing is when they invent magic that, like, sort of actually ends up making sense to me, which is what I liked about Name of the Wind.
Yeah, I do have to say they really...
It wasn't just Pajaw!
Yeah, Patrick Rothfuss, he really thought it through, the whole system of magic, which was pretty interesting and cool. But, so he was hanging, so Logan's hanging off this cliff, and he's slipping, and... He figures out that he can't, but there's a river, so he has to push. So he says, So he planted his free foot firmly on the rock face, took one last deep breath, and flung himself out into empty space with all the strength he had left. He felt the biting teeth let go of him, and then the grasping hands, and for a moment he was free. And then he fell into the gorge. And was sucked. The water came out to meet him. It hit him in the side like a charging bull, punched the air out of his lungs, knocked the sense out of his head, sucked him in and down into the cold darkness.
Dot, dot, dot.
Darkness.
So it's like, cool, got it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's scary.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, to start with like hanging off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then when he said, when he's like, he puts his foot and he pushes out, like he couldn't have pushed that far out if he's got something hanging off of his leg. I was thinking of like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hater.
You get a little bit of push.
I don't know how far out you could really go.
I think most like TV or whatever, they wouldn't even have the push.
That's true.
I would just like, oh, like, ah. You're like, oh, look, fell perfectly, you know, so.
True.
It's all right. So I was like, okay. First chapter, I was like, yeah, you're not the most.
Paints a picture.
I was like, it wasn't boring.
No.
So.
Okay, part one. The blade itself incites to deeds of violence. Man, I meant to look up where this is from. Okay, Homer, let's assume it's from. Make a bet. My knowledge of Homer is maybe not the best.
Yeah. I think more like I think I did more Plato.
I saw the Kevin Sorbo when he plays Odysseus. Remember that?
It was made for TV?
It's from the Odyssey. It might have been. We watched it in history class. Yeah. This is a quote from the Odyssey. It says, sci-fi stack exchange.com.
Sci-fi stack exchange?
Yeah.
Great.
But most of the things that come up are Joe Abercrombie related. So he's made a name for himself by reappropriating this quote from Homer. Cool, man. Anyways, okay, the blade itself incites to deeds of violence. What do you think that means?
I think it means that power in the hand of man's inability to control the power that he wields.
Interesting. It's more literal, like even if you're not using a weapon, the mere fact that it's there like awakens things in the human mind. Like once you introduce a weapon, you can never take that knowledge away.
Yes.
It's like our gun reclaiming program in this country. Nobody wants to give their guns back.
No, that's not going to happen. And it's also the, you know, mutual assured destruction.
Yeah.
But also the Pax Atomica. So, which is
I don't know
the theory that since everyone has nuclear weapons, we had the Cold War, but we didn't have, like, an all-out war.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pro-nuclear... political science guys say that nuclear age actually spawned peace in the modern era.
The fact that we all have them, nobody's going to use them?
Because the giant, the big powerful nations, it's too steep of a price to go into total war.
But isn't it like, but then you always think like, yeah, the big nations, but like these small rogue nations are always the sort of like the big
these
question.
Are definitely the more complicated, and like a lot of people I think like to say, oh, the world's like so terrible now and like whatever. you know, the world's been pretty awful for a really long time. And
it's the
actually,
90s, we peaked.
No two northern hemisphere democracies have ever went to war with each other.
What about the Falklands? Didn't something happen there where it was... Who's fighting that?
Well, I know that England was, like, super in there. They were, like, they had choppers, and a lot of people died in the Falklands War.
But who were they they were fighting? Damn.
Yeah.
First quiz.
You know
prize.
What? Yeah, you guys.
Tell us about the Falkland War.
Tell us about the Falkland War, please. You know what? I bet you it was, like, Britain's imperialist. They're probably trying to hold on to it.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah, it was like, I mean, God, I don't know anything about the Falklands. Who are they fighting? It's definitely England versus somebody.
I think they were just trying to hold on to it. I think it was an imperialist, like, you know, play, and I think they were, like, rebelling, and they...
I thought it was, like, two major nations that had stake there, but weren't, I don't know.
Please write in, you guys.
Yeah, write in. We would mail. Don't send it to Raph's apartment, though, because his mailman is going to steal. Yeah.
And we don't have anything to write in for you to write in right now, but I will...
We need to make an email address.
Yeah, no, screw email. We don't like checking email. We'll make a Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
It's easier. It's really easier.
Screw email. You heard that? Email's out. Facebook
pages
are in.
No, it's just too much to... It's easier to manage a Facebook page. And, we just came up with a name for the podcast... Probably, maybe, like, a minute before we started. So.
I thought of
this
it.
This is really thrown together, the first episode, you guys. But we actually did a pretty good job on our last podcast once we started get rolling.
Oh, so, right. I forgot. We don't have loyal fan base yet.
Bear with us. Like, by episode 2 or 3, this is going to be cracking.
By the end of this episode, it's going to be awesome. So don't undersell
fine,
us,
fine.
Let's move on to the survivors.
The survivors.
Okay, so this is what I thought was a little weird. Immediately, they just tell us what happens to Logan. I thought they were going to make us wait. I was like, oh, we'll see this guy in like another 8 chapters.
Because, you know...
It's called the end.
Right. In like Game of Thrones, you know, you get a POV chapter, and then you go through like 3 or 4 other POV chapters and it loops around. Yeah, and this is like chapter over, chapter starts again, same thing.
Yeah, to be honest, this chapter felt like a little unnecessary. Basically, he's like, oh shit, I lost all my stuff. He's alive.
Yeah.
And he just goes back and he gets all his stuff. Which, to me, was bizarre that he's like, well, I better get my stuff. And then he goes right back to where he got thrown off the cliff.
He literally says, I am still alive, he croaked to himself.
Oh, also, I was looking at, like, the lines this guy's had in this book so far are, shit, gah, ha, shit, arr, and then this chapter.
I am still alive. And then it's shit again.
He says no.
No.
Quietly under his breath.
It's just you and me now.
And as he stuffed the pot in his pack. I hope this pot somehow, like, stays.
That's hilarious.
I know.
But, you know.
I mean, a man a few words.
I guess,
but he's talking to himself. Like, I don't probably say full sentences to myself.
So, here's another scene. So, still alive in spite of the best efforts of nature, Shanka, men and beasts, soaking wet and flat on his back.
Shanka's neither man nor beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
He started to chuckle, reedy, gurgling laughter. Say one thing for Logan Ninefingers, say he's a survivor. So I think this is also touches upon like the thematic, the theme of, kind of like a dark humor to the human nature of like suffering. I think that's gonna be like a undercurrent throughout this whole series.
Can we use Destiny's Child Survivor as our theme song?
Very possible.
Okay.
Sam suggested that we do LFO. I like girls who are Abercrombie and Fitch.
Oh, yeah, that guy died, though. Rich Cronin.
He did?
Yeah, he died of a disease.
Whoa.
I just feel weird using his music now.
Yeah. Maybe we should use it to, you know, pay homage.
He wouldn't want it that way. I mean, like, this chapter, okay. You saw the big log. So we got, like, a bunch of weird names. We got... Dow, Three Trees, Forley Grim, and the Dog Man. So far, not a mention of any ladies. Just saying.
Right.
Ain't no ladies in this story yet. And to be honest, we don't hear any ladies through the whole entirety of what we read.
It's only been one guy and a man beast so far.
Well, okay, fine. And in the, I'm saying we move on to the next chapter, and yeah.
So, you know, so Shanka, I mean, Logan gets up, brushes himself off, whatever, heads back to a campground of sorts.
Yeah.
It seems that he was with a crew, including the dog man and other people.
Orly Grim.
And it also seems that the campsite is, you know, basically abandoned. And
but also, like, kind of untouched. Like, they didn't really jack all their stuff. His coat was there. His pot.
His coat was there, too, wedged under the log, battered and scarred from 10 years of weather and war. So torn and stitched back together, missing half a sleeve.
He's got, like, dried meat. A flask with liquor in it. They didn't take stuff, so I'm like, what kind of beasts are they? They're clearly just out to kill.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even orcs would have taken your stuff.
Yeah. Orcs are like, orcs don't have, like, the nice swords and stuff, so they, like...
Orcs do. Well, it depends whether. If they're forged in the Saruman's lair, he, like, outfits them pretty good.
No, but it's, like, they have, like, brutal, like, cleave steel.
Oh, yeah, they got,
it's
like,
not
maces.
Like, it's not, like, good,
but
like,
they still have... We don't know what his, like, weapon is.
It's not
like.
Castle-forged steel.
Okay. We are mixing so many of our genres. Okay, fair enough, but they've got, like, stuff. So it seems like this is, like, some sort of, like, traveling... band of, I don't know, I guess they're clearly set up as the good guys, but I could see them being kind of, like, bad, too. Like, maybe they're, like, robbers or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right. You could go either way. But so, so Logan, he gets this pot.
Yeah, this is how it ends. Just the two of them, him and the pot.
So I guess he took, like, all the stuff and he put it in the pot, right?
Yeah.
His old battered cook pot was underneath, lying on its side, kicked off in the fire in the fight. Maybe he grabbed hold of it with both hands. It felt safe, familiar, dented and blackened from years of hard use. He'd had that pot a long time. It had followed him all through the wars, across the north and back again. They had all cooked in it together, out on the trail, and eaten out of it. Forley, Grim, the Dogman, all of them. So those are the guys who are probably dead. So it's interesting. You know, this guy has been in a lot of wars. He's, you know, traveled the lands. He's escaped death, like, several times. And it seems like the only thing that, like, he, like, has an attachment to is basically, like, damn pot.
Well, yeah, I think they're kind of using it as a device to show us that he's got, like, you know, he's, like, he's not, like, a heartless human. Clearly, he's got attachments.
Yeah.
Though, I don't think that those three dudes are dead, because it says, like, he gets to the campsite, and he sees all the Shanka, but none of his people. So, my guess is that if they killed them, they would have left them for dead.
I mean,
maybe they ran away. It seems weird.
Speaking of the first law of fantasy books should be, unless you see the corpse, like, dead, they're always alive.
Dead and, like, ripped open, and, yeah. Like, there's no magic.
Sometimes the corpse isn't even enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Wait, thermodynamics.
Yeah.
What do we know about thermodynamics?
The transference of heat through objects.
What do you use with a pot?
You cook stuff. Heat.
Thermodynamics.
Yeah.
That's what
Look at that.
First law.
Look at that.
I think this pot is going to mean something. They were the only survivors.
Right.
In the pot.
We come to the chapter questions, which
Here's
will be
where we meet
our...
the most hilarious guy in this whole damn town. He's cracking me up.
Glotka?
I call him Glotka.
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 Glotka. Glotka. It's like a Glock?
Glotka.
Yeah.
Glotka.
Glotka.
So he is a big Krabby Pants. What am I doing? Why would anyone want to do this?
Literally asking himself, why do I do this?
Yeah.
So the chapter starts and ends, I believe. What is the last end?
Why do I do this, I think?
I think it's...
Why do we do this? Something like that. Why do I do this? Yeah.
Does it say twice?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, starts and ends. So, it seems like he is a character that's kind of caught in this, like... In the cog in the wheel, like he's he's propelled by a lot of his circumstance and things around him.
But the fact that he's doing these things, like, he could stop.
Yeah.
So that clearly there is an answer to this question, but we aren't sure exactly what it is yet.
It seems that he doesn't have, like, a sick fascination, perhaps, with torturing. I think it's, like, it seems more like a an efficiency thing. Like, he's just good at it.
He's an inquisitor in this inquisition that's happening right now, which still is kind of murky as to who's getting persecuted for what. But mostly he's, like, just kind of a grump. I picture him as, like, a Walter Matthau type. grumpy old man.
I'm just,
more,
like...
More, like, haggard and, like...
Right.
White-haired.
I'm imagining, like, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, I was picturing him older, but I think I think he is younger than I thought.
He is younger, but then, you know, like, a full year of torturing probably makes you age.
Yeah, so he's, like, in a real bad state. I just assumed it was from old age. I was picturing, like, what's his name from Game of Thrones?
Aemon or Luwin?
Luwin.
Okay.
Like, that kind of, like, meh. But, yeah, so he... spends about this first whole page talking about how much he hates stairs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually, hilarious.
Yeah, I was cracking up.
I was like, how much more is he going to say about these stairs?
Oh, this is like a really... I don't know if he's trying to make it funny, but it's funny.
Well, this tells you so much about his character.
Yeah.
Like, there's an Inquisition on. He's a torturer, and literally all he talks about is like, if I could... What is it? Oh, truly, did I enjoy it? This is him getting down the stairs. For most people, stairs are a mundane affair. For me, an adventure. And I'm like, clearly you've had real adventures.
That was the worst line of the book so far.
Oh, no, I loved it. And then he limped off down the corner, giggling quietly to himself. So he's, like, out of sense of humor.
So it's the second instance of a guy, like, being in a shit situation and he's laughing about it, you know? Right off the bat, you're trying to, you know... takes some stones to basically write a POV perspective from a torturer, because
that's
gotta
why
they
humanize him so much off the top.
Yeah.
He's like, look at me.
Yeah,
because I didn't realize that he was a torturer kind of like till farther in.
So he's obviously he's dealing with a lot of pain in his leg, and there's a nice line I read. Glockta rolled his eyes up to the ceiling, then limped off, his cane tapping on the tiles, his leg throbbing. Click, tap, pain. That was the rhythm of his walking. Which is,
they repeat that later.
Flash him some nice words
onomatopoeia
from Abercrombie.
Click, tap, tap.
It's good.
They say that later, he's, like, still making it. Clearly his world view seems, like, so weirdly shrunk down into, like, the immediate pain versus, like, he's gone through a lot of shit that he doesn't seem at all concerned about. He seems like a practical man, which brings us to the practicals. Ooh, I've been calling them practical magic. Do you remember that film?
Wait.
Remember?
Do I?
Practical Magic, starring Sandra Bullock, Nicole Kidman, somebody else.
Whoa, Babe Central.
Yeah, they like are witches in their like quiet, sleepy town of like North Carolina or something. And then they kill a guy because I think he's trying to like, I can't remember if he's trying to like rape Nicole Kidman or he's trying to hurt her, so they kill him. And then an investigator comes. I might be making this up, I forget. But turns out it's Sandra Bullock's dream man. And, like, when she was, a little girl, she, like, cast a spell where she, like, put all this... She's like, this is the dream man that I want. He's got two different colored eyes and all this shit. And then, lo and behold, the sheriff. Anyway, there's, like, a scene where they're dancing around their kitchen, singing the... But I think it's that song that's, like, dip it out away, oh boy. You know that one? I don't actually know if that's what it should be. Anyway, so I've been calling these guys Practical
When's
Magic.
When's the sequel coming out?
Magic 2.
Where's Nicole Kidman been for a minute?
She's been having a lot of work done. Have you seen her face? It's getting to, upsetting face, you know, when, like, they don't look human anymore.
Oh, no.
Like, freaking Meg Ryan, her face is, like, looking...
Whoa, really?
Just, like...
Both of those seem like, such natural beauties.
God damn it, it's snowing again.
Oh, it's... Whatever.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's been a long, tough winter, you guys.
Winter has come all
winter
over our faces.
Winter is bukkaking right now because it's been insane.
Yeah, this podcast is filmed in Chicago.
Yeah, and
it's filmed.
It's, you know, Chicago is one of the coldest major cities in America.
I don't want to talk about it.
And just, we've been hitting this polar vortex thing, and it's been... They're saying right now we're like number four worst winter since 1880 whatever.
Yeah, did you know that like the
but
whole
it's still,
world
we
is,
got still like another month.
The whole world. I may be making this up, but like there was like a mini ice age in the 1400s to like the 1700s that was just like a fact. Like everything was just shitty, I hope that we don't have that again. Another miniature Ice Age.
No, fuck that. Like, I'm not into that.
No, like, I would
love Chicago. I love it here, but this is what the norm's going to be from here on out, I gotta get the fuck out.
Yeah, move
this in. Is fucking nuts.
Woo. Anyway, speaking of complaining, Glock limped to his chair.
Nice segue.
Thank you. So, okay, so he's in his room. There's blood on the wall that hasn't been wiped off. And he's got this guy in front of him, Ruse. Well, so he has this helper, Practical Frost. There are a couple of practicals.
I like the name so far. Like, they, what do they name? Inquisitor? Name it? Inquisitor Glockta. There's Practical Frost. There's another guy. Later, we'll get to him.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the naming and the whole... They paint, like, this kind of, like, vivid picture of this Inquisition, like kind of, like, hierarchy. Yeah.
So the Practical Frost guy, he's an albino. I feel like this is a common trope to have, like, the quiet, like, I'm trying to think... The guys, the henchmen types who, like, have some, like, strange... Or not strange, but, like, there's, like, a physical...
Like the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, that guy. That's... What was his name? Like, you...
Did you see the Heat with Sandra Bullock and that hefty lady?
No. Her name is Melissa McCarthy.
I didn't know. She recently got famous, but, like, she's been an actress for a long time. So, hilarious. It was a pretty good movie. I liked it.
I did want to see it. Sandra Bullock. Second Sandra Bullock mention of the podcast.
Nice. Sandra Bullock's killing it as far as our podcast goes.
That's true.
So, I saw it on the Air Berlin flight, and pretty good airplane movie.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a great airplane movie.
And they had that one, they had an albino character in it,
mm-hmm.
and the whole time... They're like, oh, this guy did it. This guy fucking did it. He's a police officer. But they're like, that's a crooked cop. That's a crooked cop.
That's like kind of terrible.
But then it turns out that, like, do you want a Heat spoiler?
No, I don't want to know what happened.
Fine. But it's just hilarious.
Well, it wasn't him.
Whatever. They just, like, immediately, like, they're, like, coming in to, like, interview this guy. And one of the cops was like, he did it, man. It was him. And he's like, he was like really like self aware. So he's like, you know, he's like, fuck you. Just because I'm an albino doesn't mean I'm an evil villain.
But that's like such a common trope, which is fun. Like, also, I mean, it made me also think of like, because also I think the albino that has a lisp later, like when he's talking. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So like, no, there's like strange, like in a.
He's like what's the fuck? Vargo Holt.
Oh, like Vargo Hope,
yeah.
And Hunger Games, they make them, like, mute, but those, like, Avoxes can't speak. I feel like these, like, sort of, like, back characters always have some sort of physical...
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, not disability, I don't want to say that, but it's just, like, a strange a trope we've noticed. The albino as evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So, this guy, he...
Ruse.
Works for a guild.
Right.
Glockta has
decided to really lay the law on him.
Yeah, and apparently it's pretty standard to skim a bit off the top, you know.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure because he's really going for it with this dude. Seems like he's got some sort of personal agenda against him. Because everybody's kind of upset with him later. They're like, why are you going after that guy?
And it was weird, too, because he referred to him as his friend. Like, he used to be his friend.
Yeah.
So, like, something's going on. We don't know yet, but, like, something's happening. Things are really, like, starting to move
Snowball.
In motion. Yes.
He knows his wife. He's like, your wife. Your wife is a very beautiful woman, beautiful and young.
Yeah.
I fear perhaps a little too young for you. So maybe there's something with that wife. I guess this is literally the only mention of a woman. A young, pretty lady. Cool, guys.
Oops.
But anyway, so every time he's about to, like, fuck this guy up, the door opens, which is hilarious. Like, he gets, like, every time he's like, whoops, and somebody comes to the door.
Yeah. And it's pretty unnerving, you know, situation.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's like, what the fuck? You know, I'm a baller in this guild. Like, we're powerful. This doesn't happen to me or us or whatever. And Glockta's just like, whatever, bro.
I do like how Glockta's like, yo, man, either his, like, eyes get big or his eyes get small when he's faced with fear. So clearly he's tortured, like, thousands of dudes.
Yeah.
I know, personally, my eyes would get super big and I would start crying. What do you think you'd do, Ref?
Well,
I think your eyes would get big.
We,
no offense.
I gotta. Later in this chapter, we like get to that point, so I want to come back and like hit it then.
Okay.
But.
Anyway, so Glatka's trying to get him to confess. And he's like, if you confess, I'll send you to Angland.
Yeah, I was like, Emil is like, Angland.
The thing is, I'll send you to Angland.
George Martin does this too. He just like takes one letter and he switches it.
Like, why? I mean, I guess no, it puts me in like, but it's just like so
cool. Yeah.
Though, but it's like the north. It seems like it's like the north. It seems like it's more like Scotland. England is more like, because they're like, you have to go up there. And everybody, like, hates Scotland and England. They're like, oh, fuck Scotland.
You can get a better name. I believe one of the Game of Thrones Nightfort castles is called Icemark. It's a better name.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
Did I tell you I'm going to England in the fall for a bachelor party and a wedding?
Whoa.
I'm super excited. I'm going to England.
England.
We're going to Brighton for the bachelorette party, which is the gay capital of England, I found out. It's a man and a woman getting married, but it's a seaside town. This would be awesome. And then the wedding's on Tuesday.
Probably has good bars. Fun bars.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be like late October. I don't know if it's going to be cold.
That's cool.
That's my England.
Like, I kind of want to go to England. I've never been, but I kind of don't. One thing that I noticed, like, recently traveling is I really...
Don't like English people?
Don't like paying extra. Like, when I was in Warsaw, the exchange rate was really good, and I was, like, eating super well and, like, having a great time. And then I got to Athens, and the first bar I walked into, I got a Heineken. It was 6 euros.
Yeah, I mean, like, you gotta know...
And I was like, fuck this.
What to spend your money on. Like, when you go to... I've been to England a couple times, and... Like, so I've been to London for a while, and London's totally different than anywhere else. Like, you're not really in England when you're in London. You're in, like, London. And then I went to, like, Leicester to visit my friend, and so we're gonna be... And then her wedding's in Nottingham, like, near fucking Sherwood Forest. I don't know if she's getting in the forest. In my head, she is. Getting married in the forest would be really sweet if she was.
That would be cool.
But I just, I mean, you don't, like, go to England to, like, have good food. Unless you're getting curry.
Yeah. Well, Owen and Engine has good food.
I went there last night for the first time, and I got, I had food, I was food hungover this morning.
That's a nice place.
I tried to get, a light meal, and so I got mussels. I was like, okay, and then the mussels come with a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And then I got a side of, what is it called? Poppin' Squeak?
Yeah.
And it's a bowl of mashed potatoes.
So, do you know they call Poppin' Squeak, potatoes because of the way it's cooked? That's the noise it makes.
I did know that.
Excellent.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It goes like pop squeaks.
Yeah.
It was really delicious, but I felt really full. And then we got dessert because went in.
No, that's a nice place. The atmosphere there, the bun tufted leather sofas upstairs.
Oh, I didn't go upstairs.
Like the dark wood. They have a nice beer selection. It's a little pricey.
It
is not a cheap place, actually.
Because I was going to see American Hustle afterwards, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised how much Oscar buzz it's getting, honestly, but I thought it was, like, a fun...
It's like, remember when, like, The Boxer got nominated? There's always, like, a movie every year where,
David O'Russell movie, basically. Silver Linings
Playbook. Oh, my God. And then, what was it last year? It was, the Argo?
Yeah, I did not understand that. I, like, enjoyed it.
I really liked it. It was an entertaining movie. It was a cool movie. But this is not Best Picture material.
No, I agree.
Like,
for me...
Oh, God.
To be honest, the movie that I thought was, like, the best movie of this year was Nebraska.
So I just saw the trailer, like, today.
Oh,
like, a couple hours ago. And I saw the trailer, and I was like, this looks cool. I want to watch it.
Bruce Dern, I would love... He's not going to win Best Actor, but he should. He killed it. What's his name?
Behind.
Okay.
I have to see Nebraska. I have to see her. And
you haven't seen her?
I'm like so... Like every year, you know, I like panic at the end and I like watch all the movies in like 2 weeks basically.
Yeah.
And like I am behind this year. I got to get my shit together, watch some movies. If you guys want to watch any of these movies with me, let me know because I got some movies to watch.
I liked her. I didn't love it, but I don't have a heart, so whatever. Excuse me. Anyways, so he keeps describing Ruse as really fat, like a pig.
Yeah.
He seems like he sees the world in, like... But no, maybe he doesn't see the world in black and white. He's just, like, very, It's, like, a lot of visceral stuff coming from Glatka. He's like, this hurts. That guy's
He's
ugly.
He's bitter. He's this very extremes. He, like, really sees the world in, like, extremes, you know?
Yeah. But he also, like, is, like, so, like... like, what the fuck is the point of all of this?
Yeah, like I don't think he's insane. Right, no. Right. I don't think he's insane.
Oh no, he's not.
Maybe
insane,
he's
no.
he's pretty. Yeah, he's probably pretty misanthropic.
Yeah, like a Walter Matthau type.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Okay. I'm not sure where you are right now, but we're scrolling through our PDFs, which is hard because there's no page numbers. Oh wait, I'm on page 9. This line really stuck out to me. So he's like, "Is that tooth bothering you, Ruse?" Then mm-hmm. there was nothing Glucka didn't know about teeth. Like, what kind of a thing is that to throw in there? Like, that's so weird. Like, is he a medical expert, or is it just like he's taken out so many teeth? It was just such a weird. This guy seems like he knows everything in the world.
He's almost like a physician.
And he like doesn't care.
Yeah,
that he knows
it's
all of
it. It's like Qyburn from Game of Thrones, the guy who had his chains taken away.
Oh,
Qyburn.
Yeah. Qyburn. I'd never say these things out loud.
So yeah. He seems like that kind of guy. He seems like a kind of guy who like cuts people up and like studies like, you know, the stuff coming out of
him.
He's
a sociopath.
Yeah,
that's what he seems like. He's a sociopath, but like in that way that like is very charismatic. Like control. And I want to
like
know
controlled.
More about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's very draws you in. He doesn't give a F about what people think of him, and that's how he loses
life. He doesn't seem to.
They do make a distinction at the end of page 9 about, like, different accents, because who comes in? Oh, Severard.
Yeah.
Severard's this dude. Who's this dude? He's like a guy. Who is he?
He's like a cocky kind of, like, seems like a guy who got, like, the job from his dad,
and you
can't fuck with him.
He said he talks in a broad, common accent, so he's, like, of the people, so he's, like, I don't know, poor.
But he also seems like a kind of like a self-sort, like a Bron type, where like he was,
his eyes
when
are
you
smiling.
Need to get shit done, you know, like he'll get stuff done, even though like he's like a smartass.
Yeah,
you know?
Smartass is a good way to say it. There's a lot of just dudes, I think, measuring their dicks in this, chapter.
I think so. I think that's a lot of that happening.
And then it ends again, this like portion with the rhythm of
so
his walking.
So he's about to torture this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Dog, you're in a fucking, you're in a shit creek right now. You're up shit creek right now."
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, so he's like telling this guy, like, "You don't have a lot of options. Like, it's better if you talk." And the guy's, you know, like, "Oh, it's fuck you." Well, he's not. He's scared.
Fight.
He's scared, but, you know, he's like, "I, you know." So he was warming up a little bit. He's like, "All right, practical albino guy.
Practical magic.
Is going
Practical Frost.
Fine.
We're going to call him Practical fine. Magic.
Practical magic, you know, like, beat him up for half an hour."
Yeah.
And then he gets called into this office.
Severard.
Right.
Severard's like, "You gotta get out of there." Severard's clearly really happy that he gets to interrupt him, too.
Yeah. And so he goes to see his boss guy.
Literally called the superior.
The superior, right.
Which feels very Kafka to me. He's like, "I have to go see the superior."
Yeah. he walks into this whole, he walks into this office, and another actually pretty baller line comes up. He says, it is written, "The head of a fierce animal from somewhere cold and exotic was mounted above a magnificent stone fireplace with a tiny, mean fire close to burning out inside." Which is pretty tight. That's a pretty fucking tight line.
Where? Yeah. And then you meet Superior Kaline?
Mm-hmm.
I like the description. "A vast florid man in his late 50s, he had overcompensated for his thinning hair with magnificent white side whiskers." So
like,
he's got, like, ball and sideburns.
Yeah. Like the Castellan of Winterfell. God, I forgot his name.
Man, what's wrong with you?
I know.
he seems like just kind of like a pompous buffoon, though, the way they're describing him. They use the word fancy, like, a couple times. He's too big and he's too fancy, basically.
Yeah.
I do like how he's like, "Have a seat." Oh, is that this part?
No.
Oh, excuse me. We'll talk later about more chairs.
So Abercrombie wrote this like baller line about this awesome image of this, just really captured the essence of this room in like one sharp sentence. It was really cool. And then he proceeds to, like, freaking hold my hand. And then he's like, he amused himself with the thought of Kalane's head mounted above that fireplace instead of that fierce animal's, while the superior ranted at him. He's every bit like his fireplace, the big dolt. So I'm like, all right, even then. And then he has the extra sentence of, looks impressive, but there's nothing much going on underneath. Thank you, I got that.
Yeah, when we get, you just blowhard.
Yeah, like, stop, you know, you didn't have to spell it out for me.
Like, yeah, I guess it's, like, more of, like, an inner, the inner monologue that's going through Glocka's head is constantly, like, you suck, you suck, you suck, this is why I hate you. And then he's, like, being a... Cullen was red-faced and vibrating with rage. It seems like, I'm trying to think, like, what's her name? In, Matilda, Mrs. Trunchbull, the really mean principal. You gotta read.
I don't think I saw Matilda.
Did you read the Roald Dahl book?
No.
Oh my gosh, you gotta read
Matilda. Do you think Matilda is my style of books?
Have you read Roald Dahl? He's awesome. He's like the ultimate like fantasy stuff for children. That's like still set in our world. He's great. He's like legit.
Okay.
Read some Roald Dahl. Read The Witches. That book scared the bejesus out of me.
I'll add it to my list.
You'll get through it pretty quick.
I'll add it to the list.
Yeah, it's a must. Or just watch the movie. It's okay. Anyways, so he's like a caricature of a person being like... But...
Yeah, he's like Glock screaming. Like,
yeah.
I did like this one part. Shit, where am I? I don't know where I am. Hold on.
Page 11? Page 10. Page 11.
Okay, you talk for a second. I'm gonna find this.
Okay, so this guy is like literally a character. He's tearing at his hair in desperation, and nothing really happens until he's like, "I'm going straight to the arch lector," which seems like okay. This guy actually might have some sway, and the only thing that like disrupts his speech is that Severard comes back and opens a box full of money, and that's when like everything turns around. And, what's his name? The superior is like, ooh, you got money from this guy? Cool. And all of a sudden, things are, as they say, the superior's starting to like it now. Glocka could tell. He was trying not to show it, but his whiskers were quivering at the sight of all that money. So this man is, like, clearly a guy, all he cares about is, like, the finer things in life. Like, he's got fancy furniture. He shits himself over money. This guy is not particularly deep, you know.
They're really painting this complete, like, bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Ottoman Empire bro, who's just, like, there because, like, he just...
He's probably been there for a while.
Yeah.
He's like...
Yeah. Which is fine. That's fine. I don't know how much we're gonna be... if I had to predict right now, I don't think we're gonna be seeing, like, a lot of Callan.
Who knows, though? Maybe, like, they're setting this up. This is so over the top, like, describing how this guy is. Perhaps he's, like, quite a schemer. But,
yeah, they're really painting him in, like...
As about, like, a blithering idiot. Blithering?
Yeah.
A blithering fool.
Just, like, a yelling guy. Like, there's not a lot of characters like that in, like, Game of Thrones. You know? There's
That's
not a lot
of,
like...
Harry Potter. Yeah. Like, Vernon Dursley. He reminds me a little bit of Dursley.
Okay.
We keep bringing up children's literature.
So, you know, basically there's a... What was that guy? Severard? Severard comes in and dumps some money on the table. And he's like, hey, we confiscated this. So you're a fucking stupid rich bureaucrat.
And he's like, ooh, money bag.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. He's like, girl, yeah, we got a little money. But as this is actually... So maybe Callan is not a complete idiot because he takes the money and then still screws Glocka out.
That's true.
Is like the total Littlefinger thing to do, you know?
Yeah. No, Littlefinger would at least like pretend he's your friend. Oh,
yeah, it's true. He wouldn't yell at you.
No, he'd be like, "Murr."
Yeah.
He does a lot
exactly.
of that in my head.
Exactly.
So then we go back to Ruse and he's been beat the F up.
Yeah.
He got left alone in the room with practical magic, and that guy did... it seems like he mostly just smacked him around, because then, it surprisingly, like, Glocka's like, you haven't seen nothing yet, and he opens his...
Yes,
this
because,
is creepy, his box of instruments. I was like, ooh, this guy's...
So, he says, I'm thinking about what we have for you here, though, and the sad fact is, that's about as good as it gets. That's the high life. Glocka leaned forward, his lace just inches from the bloody pulp of Rue's nose. Practical Frost is a little girl compared to me, he whispered. Woo! I was like, this is like a total fucking like Tarantino.
Oh yeah.
Like Reservoir Dogs badass fucking like, you know, moment.
But part of me like doesn't even, I feel like he's like just kind of like he's going through the motions. Like he doesn't even like care about it. He's like, oh, this is when I'm gonna play like the fucking scary badass guy. And then Frost opens the case with a theatrical flourish. It's like they've done this a million times and they're like, this is the part where we're like,
this is the moment where I like
got into it. Because it's about like horrible instruments of torture.
I mean like it was like pretty decent, it was fine, whatever, but like so he opens this case and
I do like the description.
Yeah. There were blades of every size and shape, needles curved and straight, bottles of oil and acid, nails and screws, clamps and pliers, saws, hammers, chisels. Metal, wood, and glass glittered in the bright lamplight, all polished to mirror brightness and honed in a murderous sharpness.
But you know what this also kind of tells you is that, like, I don't know if there's going to be much magic in this world, because these are clearly the worst weapons, and they're all, like, you know, your standard torture devices.
They are.
Though I do really like how...
It's still early. If it comes, it'll be, like, a long burn. It'll be more rewarding.
I do know? Like... this is one of my favorite lines. Like, the functions of some were horribly obvious. The functions of others were horribly obscure. Which scare him more, I wonder? Because I was, like, thinking, I was like, which would scare me more? I think the ones that were, like... If it was, like, a weird, like, just two loops and, like, a little... I'd be like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like, I don't like just be a little tiny, a
situation like,
that. Who knows? It reminded me a little bit of Cabin in the Woods at the end. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Cover your ears. At Cabin in the Woods, when all the bad guys are, all the monsters are, like, at the very end, like, pulling out all their different weapons.
Yeah.
And, like, some of them you're like, I know what that guy's going to do, and some you're like, ay!
Yeah. No, it's Cameron Woods. Good movie.
Rules.
Good movie.
I haven't bought a DVD in about 2 years, but I bought that.
Really?
Yeah. This computer
does. You bought a DVD?
Yeah. This
That's
computer
high
doesn't
praise.
Even, this doesn't even have a DVD player. So,
that is high praise,
it's
honestly.
It's so good. I know. Anyways. So that's where we are. Okay, so Glock does, like, here are my weapons of torture. The door again. Somebody's blowing up his spot. I love how he's just like, ugh.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get this torture on.
He doesn't say he's supposed to go home and put his like back in like a nice comfy pillow.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, so I'm pretty sure Practical Magic has a list because he's like, if the architecter.
Yeah, that's the list.
So he's out behind him when he's a list. I feel like they're just like throwing stuff at this guy. But maybe that's a... I'm curious what practicals, like, if they're all, like, look the same or if they just have the same title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're the same kind of, like...
No, I just thought it was a title because, the main Inquisitor guy comes and he has two practicals with him.
Right, but they don't, like, they're black masked. I was just, I wonder if, like, there's any physical thread that ties them all together or they're all just sort of, like... henchman type dudes. So now we have Arch Lecter, who seems like a legit, bad guy. Whereas the Superior was, like, a bumbling, whatever, idiot. This guy seems, like, much more interesting.
Yeah.
He seems like he's almost a match for Glockta.
Yeah.
Also, his last name's Lecter, which is gonna make you think. They spell it differently, though, I will say that.
They do.
Yeah.
But it automatically, I mean... Come on, Silence of the Lambs, like,
the
guy's named
villain.
Lecter, like, you're thinking this is not a good guy over here.
He was on screen for, what, like, 10 minutes, and he won the best acting Oscar.
Did he?
Yeah.
Because he was not
on
screen.
He was literally on screen for, like, 10 minutes. Also, did you know, I read a random fact, forget what famous woman was, I think it was Martha Stewart, it might not have been Martha Stewart, there's a famous, like, actress who was dating... This famous person who was dating Anthony Hopkins and had to break up with him after she saw Silence of the Lambs because she couldn't disassociate him from his character. Because, like, can you imagine, like, you're making out with Anthony Hopkins and he, like, comes at you and
he's
like, and he, like,
the sucking
like,
nose.
And he opens up some Chianti.
Right.
And some fava beans. Anyway, that's
that's fucked up.
I can't remember who it was. Maybe it wasn't Martha Stewart. I was reading, there's this really cool Tumblr. It's called, like, Old couples or something, and it's just photos of like famous people who dated a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, and they're just cool photos.
I read a thing, I don't know where it was, probably like Men's Health when I had a subscription to it, like in college or something. But basically, they were like, Anthony Hopkins is a strong dude, he could bench like 250 pounds.
I didn't know that either.
Doesn't look like a... He looks like a George Costanza guy, you know?
Actually, I disagree. Even in... Because he's older in Silence of the Lambs still. Like, he's very, like, big on top, actually. Like, and he's not, like...
Yeah.
George... Like, he's got, like...
Right.
Bigger dude.
Yeah.
He seems like a real badass.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So he's talking to this guy.
Do you say Arch-lector or Arch-lector? I'd say Arch.
Let's say Arch.
Okay, we'll go with Arch.
Yep. So this guy is, Lector, you know, Salt. Even Glockta, who, like, doesn't give a fuck about, like, nothing. He's like, oh, shit, this guy.
It's more like they both know that they're playing the game together,
mm-hmm.
whereas Superior is just, like, seems, like, completely ignorant to, like, the subtleties of these, like, back and forths, whereas... Lecter and Glockta are, like, cut of the same cloth, and that they're, like, both, you know... Everything they say has, like, 18 meanings. We're, yes, like, already, like, whoa!
Right, they've both, like, been in this kind of game. They both are guys who...
They know how it works.
Yeah, they asked them... The one guy asked them about England, and, And basically, he was like, how did you like England? I'm, like, paraphrasing. And he's like, oh, it was fucking terrible. Like, we have a slave system. Like, these people would die. They starve to death. It was a terrible fucking place. Yada, yada. I hated it. Blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, it was cold. That's what he said, you know?
So I mean, clearly Arch Lecter knows everything about England. Yeah. They're both...
So it was that really, I think, like, really... telling in like the Glockta's train of thought, and obviously the Arch-lector knows what the fuck he's doing too. Yeah, so
there's a reason why he's got Arch in his name.
Yeah,
he's fancy. So there's all this, like, back and forth. Now I'm on page 12, and the Arch is like, so the Arch is upset, or he was like, Superior's really upset with you because you're torturing what's his butt.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly the Arch could not give two shits about that guy. He's like, we've got other fish to fry. No. And then this was my favorite part when he was like, they're playing these stupid power games, and Arch is like, have a seat. And he's like, I prefer to stand. And he's like, no, you don't. Because I know how much you love chairs. Yeah. And I know how much you hate standing. And he's like, damn. And he goes, he has me there. I'm like, wow, the biggest power play so far is literally him sitting in a chair.
That was a good scene.
I like that, too.
That was,
I can see that playing very cinematically.
Yeah. It reminded me of the chair scene in Game of Thrones when... Tywin Lannister takes the seat as the Hand of the King,
mm-hmm.
and the council walks in, and they all try to position themselves at the table.
And then Tyrion, like, drags a chair in, and he's like, oh.
And actually, was that, I don't think, was that precisely in the books?
No, that was in the show.
That was in the show for sure.
But I loved that.
No, it was, like, it was perfect. Yeah, they did it so well.
They also keep describing...
And that was a quiet scene. No one spoke the whole time.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love scenes with no dialogue. They keep... Okay, so they've described the Arch Lecter. He's got a cold, nasty smile and cold blue eyes. So let's assume this guy's pretty cold. Cold-hearted.
Yeah.
And he kind of gives him this subtle threat. The Superior is like, I think he had it in mind that you'd be removed. All together. I love it when people talk in, like, stupid, vague terms.
So here's where we get some insight into Glockta.
Yeah.
The Arch-lector says, we have few men like you in the Inquisition, Glockta. A nobleman from an excellent family, a champion swordsman, a dashing cavalry officer, and a man once groomed for the very top.
Yeah.
So doesn't seem to be the case anymore. He's obviously comes from privilege.
Mm-hmm.
There were bright things in his future.
Dashing, even.
Said dashing.
That means handsome.
Cavalry officer, and, you know, movies and, like, literature from late 1800s to early 1900s. Probably, pre-World War I. Like, cavalry officer seems to be, like, the most dashing thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting, like, the shift. World War I's kind of actually the big shift.
Yeah.
When all these people were, the cavalry was the most highly touted position. And then you ride up on your horse and you get mowed down by a bunch of
machine guns,
and they're like,
you're like, fuck.
And it is
because
amazing.
it's like the knight system. If you're on a horse, like, you have such a higher survival rate.
Right.
So,
but in World War I, it was amazing how long they kept the cavalry going, because like they like, you know, they're like, we cannot stop this. This is part of our culture. And like, time and time again, people like eventually somebody's like, guys, come on. I don't know if it was like Haig or whoever was in charge of the military at that point. They were like, we gotta get these guys off horses.
Yeah, it's military bureaucracy and the utility of warfare.
And it's just like the public perception. Like, you want to see your heroes riding horses, and then...
Yeah, and you have a whole system. These guys, like, generals are... It's the same shit as, like, with lots of different, like... Like, the M16 was, like... highly used in Vietnam, but like, it had overheating problems. But the thing is, like, they manufactured like millions of them, and it's a whole system. And they're like, hey, we can have a better rifle, but it's just like, well, we already fucking paid, signed the contracts, and this is what you got.
It's funny, like, when I think of today, like, our perception of the military, when I think of like the most elite troops, I literally think of the people that are like, can't be seen, detected, like, they're like, you know, behind enemy lines. It's so funny how, like, that's changed so much.
From being, right.
Like, hello!
Like, we're charging. You're trying, like, right.
Visual intimidation.
You're trying to, like, scare off half the forces who are, like, basically farmers with, like, wooden spikes.
Right. And now it's like, here's a robot drone man who just obliterated your village. Yeah. Let's not get too political.
Right.
But it's interesting how this has changed. So clearly we're still in a world where... the cavalry is held in high esteem. I'm guessing we're going to get horses in this in these books. My guess is that we'll have horses.
Which, if this ever goes to TV, is going to be expensive. Because that is the number one, like, delay in Game of Thrones filming.
Oh, fucking horses. Well, that's like that TV show Lucky that got canceled because all those horses kept dying. Remember, it was an HBO show? It only ran a couple... Like, I think it...
Was it horse racing?
Yeah, they canceled it because there was all this, like, horse hullabaloo.
That sucks. This is just notoriously difficult to film with horses.
I mean, like, you think of, like, Lord of the Rings. That's insanity how many horses they had.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that, so many horses. Whatever, I'm just thinking about Lord of the Rings in general and, like, filming that.
Well, I mean, the good thing is they had, like, literally New Zealand as, like, and that whole country was like, do what you guys need to do. There was, like, no red tape. But anyway... Back to this book. Okay, so here... This is a great exposition, but, like, when he's, like... So you came from this background, and then he was, like... And then you clearly went up through, like, hell and back, and he's, like, did you talk? And Glog is, like, yeah. I talked everything I could ever talk. And they're, like, haha, yeah, but everybody does that, but, like, nobody survives. So here's where we get some, like... So 2 years in the Emperor's prisons. So we have the Emperor as, like, one side of the... is the fight, because earlier they talk about the Union. There's like a couple.
Yeah,
it's like England's exile, Emperor versus the Union. I'm kind of unsure.
England's like the Siberia, so
right. And then like who are the victims of the Inquisition?
It seems
I'm kind of confused a little bit.
Right. So I mean, the players we have, seems like there's the Emperor and there's the Union.
Right.
The Inquisition is functioning in
the
Union. And they're the two, the Mercers and whatever, something else, guilds. They're like the big money power, CEO power player types.
Right.
So those are like the players that we have so far lined out.
But then there's also clearly a noble class that Glocka comes from. But the Archlector's, he's kind of like calling him out. He's like, physicians were sure you'd never leave your bed again. Nobody ever survives this long. Mm-hmm, and then like a year later, you made your application to the Inquisition. And then he's like, we both know, we were both there, what do you want from me, and why not get on with this? So it's like, they both know something, a secret about him, that we're still not privy to, like how we survived all of this?
Right. It does seem a little shady. Why did he survive four times as long as like everyone else?
Right, yeah. And then this is when he goes
also
on his...
like, Archlector, you know, obviously he knows that this guy is kind of a badass. You get fucking tortured for like, that long. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know?
But the way that he talks, like, it's almost like Glocka sold his soul to the devil. Like, he doesn't care about anything, and he's like, I've survived.
Yeah.
I wish I was dead. And he says that a couple times. He's like, it'd be so much easier if I was just, like, dead.
Yeah.
And
then he asks him, like, why did he survive? Like, did he talk? And then he says, Galactus says, did I talk? I talked until my throat was raw. I told them everything I could think of. I screamed every secret I'd ever heard. I babbled like a fool. When I ran out of things to tell them, I made things up. I pissed myself and cried like a girl. Everyone does.
So, yeah, it's like...
Zero Dark Thirsty. Whoa!
I don't get it.
It just reminds me of Zero Dark Thirsty.
Oh, 30. Yeah. You're just calling it thirsty.
Like, yeah. This is a long-running joke. I've said thirsty like 14 times in the previous podcast. I don't get this.
Did you?
Yeah. I used to say Zero Dark Thirsty all the time.
Who knew? Yeah, and it seemed like that's like the accepted answer, though. Like, everybody does that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know that. But that's why he's like, but you still come back. You're like a bounce back ball. There's always a character, like, in all of these books. We've got... Name of the Wind, we've got, I can't say his name. How do you say his name? Kvothi, whatever.
Kvothe.
How do you say his name? I would always just say Kvothi in my head. Like, there's always characters that have been, like, literally murdered, and then they come back to life. You've got, like, Strider in Lord of the Rings. These, like, guys with, like, this, like, mysterious background.
Yeah. Narnia, which is, like... Okay, I only saw the movie, but it was just so fucking ridiculous. Because it was just like, this lion died.
Aslan.
And then...
he's Jesus Christ.
And then he's back. The subtext. And there was like, no explanation. He's just like, resurrected!
I mean, but at the same token, you look at Lord of the Rings, Gandalf the Grey falls into a pit for 18 million years.
Dumb too.
And then he comes back and he's like, now I'm Gandalf.
Now I am the White.
Yeah.
Because...
And he's like, and I fell for years. And I was like, I'm gonna buy this because I have to.
That was probably actually my favorite scene of
falling?
That trilogy. When, like, the start of the Two Towers and then he's falling. And then
Two Towers is awesome. That's the best movie of that trilogy.
Probably.
IMHO.
It's the darkest one.
Yeah, that's the one I have on DVD. I have a couple DVDs, guys. Come
I think
over
we have it on DVD.
The Cabin in the Woods.
We have it, yeah.
Okay, so then they're going over their past. It seems like they know about each other. But then all of a sudden he throws him a curveball. I want you to arrest Septan Tufel. These names are hard to figure out what... This one sounds
I think the names are okay. This one's like, ooh.
But it's like, they seem kind of like different nationalities. Oh my god, when he said the Master of Mints, I was like, this sounds like a manager at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. I was like, I am the Master of Mints.
The CEO of Andes.
Yeah, the Master of the Royal Mints. It just, like, got to me a little bit, especially because it's, like,
haven't
he
italicized.
Haven't
had some Andes in a long time.
You gotta get some Andes. You gotta go to a hotel.
Yeah. I'm gonna check in.
And you'll never check out. But, like, the way he's, like, the Master of the Royal Mints. It's always funny at the beginning of a fantasy book when you're, like, not into it yet and you're like, oh, give me a break. But the Master of the Royal Mints is an important man from an important family. A very big fish to be hooked in my little tank. So, clearly, this guy's used to torturing, like, lower level.
Yeah.
Maybe
because... Because, you know, bureaucracy, it's... You know...
What?
It's a system. He knows that he's in a system where people above him are breaking the law or whatever.
And
it's
not
just
like
yeah.
Thing you talk about. But it reminds me of American Hustle. What I saw yesterday. Did you see American Hustle?
No, I've not.
Okay, never mind. But anyway, well,
So this is like a big. Yeah, this is a big deal. It's a big fish. He's like, what the fuck's happening? He says. He talks about like he realizes that something's happening. He says, the most powerful of circles, but for how long? Why me? Because of my results, or because I won't be missed.
Yeah.
So he immediately got this position, this job, to basically torture the guild guy, get the name out of him, implicate the Master of Andes Mints into...
yeah, that's a good name. I like that.
Into, you know, losing his position.
Yeah, we don't know exactly why Arch is so into the Master of Mints.
Yeah.
Clearly there's some stuff going on. But, I mean, the number of... this chapter's called Questions.
Yeah.
But for all the questions we have, Galactus has got about a million more, like, much more deeply philosophical ones. Like, why me? He literally says, why me?
So he gets back and he gets the guild guy to sign the confession.
Really?
He adds him... He gets him to... Even though he doesn't even know the Archluster, the guild guy seems smart enough to be like, listen...
He's like, I'm gonna get killed if I don't do this.
Yeah, there's no, going around this.
Also, he's been tortured for the last hour, pretty much, by practical magic.
Yeah.
So, he's like, okay, and calls Spade a Spade. And he signs his name, and then he sends him to Anglin, which is probably important to note that he doesn't, like, you know, outright kill him. Because then, what's his name? Severard's like, you've been in a merciful mood today.
Yeah.
So clearly.
So he, like, yeah, he dangled the Anglin carrot in front of him in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it is implied that Severard, like, he would have just killed him anyways. He just says that.
I think it's like kind of, I think it seems to me like it's some sort of move that he keeps him alive into England. I don't know if he's going to come back. Because, I mean, the only connection they have to arresting Andy's Mints, the master of Andy's Mints, is this ruse guy. So they need to probably keep him alive, actually.
Yeah.
Mm, yes, 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 yes. And then we've got the end of this. Is Glocka hobbling up the corridor again? Why do I do this?
The thin practical nodded, his long hair swaying. Glocka turned and hobbled up the corridor, cane tapping on the grimy tiles, left leg burning. Why do I do this?
Why do I do this?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Why? Why is it?
Oh my gosh.
We'll figure it out, right?
We will figure it out for next week. Just so you guys all know, we're going to read the next chapter, which is called No Choice at All.
Well,
are we not? And Playing with Knives.
God, we can't tell you pages yet.
No, but that's okay. The chapter titles are probably...
How long are they?
They're going to have different... Everybody's books might be different.
Yeah.
So I think we should go by chapter names.
Oh, no, I don't think there's a lot of editions of this book. I think if you get this book, it's like the paperback edition.
Well, you know what? I think chapter name's good enough. No Choice at All and Playing with Knives. No Choice at All. Let's see. This is PDF, not very long. And then Playing with Knives seems like it's going to be a little bit longer. Ooh, there's somebody named Jazal. Okay, I'll stop.
Is it longer?
Yeah, this is like sort of the second chapter we had. This will be about
so
the same length.
What I'm planning on doing, there wasn't a lot of reading material, and like we talked a lot today, but in the future, I'd like to, you know, do weekly, like per like 50 page blocks. So we'll increase the amount of chapters.
Okay.
Just right now, we want everyone to kind of catch up.
Get on board.
We'll put up, like, the Facebook page. We'll, you know...
And also, like, I always read chapters in the beginning slower than chapters later.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, this be bozo. But I think it'll be good to go by chapter name, though, just in case people are reading on their, like, Kindle and stuff.
So we went through questions, and we're going through the next two chapters for next week.
The next two chapters being, in case you forgot what I just said.
I did.
I know you did. No Choice at All and Playing with Knives.
Nice.
These are very, chapter names are, like, sometimes, you know what kind of, like, enrages me? These are actually more helpful than usual when it's just, like, the omen's passing. And you're like, God damn it. I don't know. I actually kind of like how there's too much, like, the thing. Like, winter is coming. Thing laid such a heavy lay on to everything that was happening. Yeah. You're like, what does that mean?
Yeah. No, so far, like, the Glocka chapter really, like, started to get me into the mood.
Great characterization. That was a great characterization of that guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of
Man Finger like, seems kind of lame at this point.
Yeah, he seems like a Han Solo, Indiana Jones type that, but any Harrison Ford.
We'll get there, you know, there's a lot of pages to cover, and,
But yeah, Glocka is great. I haven't met a character like him before, so props. Cheers.
Props.
So if any of you guys have any questions, well, we'll be coming up. We'll make our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be called The Podcast Itself.
I think so.
Because we didn't think of anything else.
Fuck it.
Whatever. And we need to make it.
Yeah.
The Podcast Itself.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's like pretty funny. It's straight to the point. Unless we think of something really hilarious.
Blade Trinity.
That's just a movie. People are going to think it's a podcast about the movie, which is ridiculous.
Whoa, it might work.
That movie's no, cool. That movie's secretly very funny.
We already talked about Blade Trinity.
We've talked about Blade Trinity
twice
all the time.
On the previous podcast.
Ryan Reynolds farts garlic, and it is so funny. Ryan Reynolds, if you're listening, good job.
Excellent.
Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell them all to listen to this podcast.
Let's get on this. Let's do this. Read with us.
And
rate us. And obviously we'll have information about the pod, and you can write us in right on our wall, and we'll read it.
And if you have any ideas for fun things you want to hear us talk about, or like segments, we'd love to.
If you want to trash talk anyone else that's listening to the podcast, you can do that too. Mike's reading this podcast, which is insane.
Reading the book?
The book.
Does Mike not read books?
No, he doesn't read books. Like, he reads school books, but he doesn't, like, read books.
That's great. Mike is Raptor Maid.
I know that Kelly already read all the books.
Okay.
So he's like ahead. So I hope he's listening. Yeah. Just like seeing what's up. Like, you know.
Our friend Shuhei said he's going to, whatever podcast we do, he's going to follow along.
Excellent. That's very good. So yeah.
And Bill in Pittsburgh.
And Bill in Pittsburgh.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Yeah. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.